incredible book that is called The Acts of Apostles. And I, just a reminder again for the sake of those who haven't been here, so I think it's the fourth message into the series the way we started four weeks ago, and then looking at how we become disciples, who can make disciples, how our discipleship needs to be intentional about reaching people for Christ. And I think here, if I were to choose one passage, one probably even verse from the book of Acts that really describes and help us understand how we can become disciples, who make disciples, will be chapter 4 of Acts. Remember that Luke started to write the Gospel of Luke, in which he described how Jesus came to earth, how he ministered among us, how he died for us, and then he was brought back to life in the power of the Spirit. He now takes that theme further into the book of Acts, and he says, you, the church, must continue that work, because the Spirit of God has been given to you to do the same thing that Jesus did, that I described to you in my former book, i.e. the Gospel of Luke. Now you can do the same, Luke says, because of the Spirit of God that has been given to you. And so we've seen so much that before the preaching of God's word, before the empowering, before the proclamation of Christ's good news, the people have been empowered to the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire came on them. Other languages came that they praised God with. Different nations. The whole world was grafted into this one people of God to bring glory to his name, to bring a new witness to the whole world about God's love and his grace, about the cross. And it happened that a miracle usually took place, i.e. the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the word was preached. Then another miracle happened of healing, in this case of Acts chapter 3, what we talked about last week, when Peter and John were going to the temple and they meet this beggar who was there, the scripture tells us was 40 years old, was there for many, many years, expecting nothing but some scraps from people, a coin or two from them. And Peter and John miss him, and he says, we've got nothing of that stuff, gold or silver or anything else, but what we have we give you in Jesus' name. Be healed. And they heal the guy. And that causes a little bit of stir now, as we come in chapter 4, because those are religious people who live all their life in their temple, and they haven't seen things like that. They were not accustomed to this kind of working of God. And they take these guys to account. And he says in verse 1, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. Could we have the verse 1, please, on the screen, Phil? Thank you. Some people might have Bibles with them, some might not. But if we can have Acts through now as I speak, that would be great. Thank you. The Sadducees, I want to just give you a little bit of background. The Sadducees were two big groups in Israel history as a religious kind of authority. There were the Pharisees, who were very predominant in Jesus' time. And then you have these guys called the Sadducees. It almost sounds like I've got Sadducees, I'm going to the doctor because I've got Pharisees on me, or Sadducees on me. It's just the name sounds terrible. So those two kind of religious, very autocratic authorities of the time, especially the Sadducees, they had three or four big problems. Number one, they didn't believe in the spirit world. They didn't believe that there is an evil one, the devil. They didn't believe in healing, i.e. no miracles, and they didn't believe in the Messiah as coming with signs and wonders and stuff like that. They believe in him as a political figure, as coming to rescue them as such. So because of that, they're having a problem now, because Peter and John have just done this miracle at the gate. They hear about it. And they're having a problem because this is not the Christ that they believe in. And I want to make one point here. And I want to be quite short this morning, actually. But the first point I want to make is that we have, as disciples of Jesus Christ, to accept the fact that criticism and closed doors might be just God's will. How many of you, if you were to be honest, to put your hands up, think that we're talking about open doors? If God opens the door, then it's His will, isn't it? Usually, this is our theology. What if sometimes God says, you're at the door, and you, Debbie, and you, Kevin, and you, Janet, you have to push it, because it might not be just open, and you have to work hard for it? What if sometimes that door is actually locked, and you're required to go and get a key, because there is a locker on the door? But what we sometimes think and do, because we've been programmed like that by whoever preached that kind of style of theology, that if the door is not open, it can't be God's will. Because we want to just go through it. This is the first aspect that those guys felt, and this is the first persecution of the church. This is the first persecution of the church, open doors that Jimmy just mentioned. That it happened. This is the first ever recorded persecution. Because those two guys are taken before the Sanhedrin, before these very, very authority, high authority figures, and questioned, by whom authority are you doing this stuff? Who's giving you permission to do this stuff? Who allow you to do this? What kind of people are you? They were greatly disturbed, in verse 2 says, because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They had a problem with that, as I said. Sadducees had a problem because they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe that there is evil. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in evil spirits. They didn't believe in any of these miraculous signs. They had a problem with that. So they take these guys for questioning. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail. Number two thing I want to say. Number one, accept criticism and the fact that all closed doors are not really God saying no. And I want you as LBC to keep that in mind as we go and do our mission. A closing door does not mean necessarily that God says no. It means that we might have to push a bit harder. I might need to go for the key somewhere else to get it. But the second thing is that they seize Peter and John, they arrest them, and they took them before the Sanhedrin. Number two thing I want to make this morning, point I want to make this morning, is they submitted to authority. They submitted to authority. And I want to make now, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but I want to make the third point too at the same time. That after they've been taken before the Sanhedrin and questioned all that stuff, in verse 23 it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Listen to this, because those points are related. They've been arrested. Point number two, submitted to authority. What did they did next when they heard they'd been in trouble? The church didn't go marching to the streets of London with placards and stuff and things. The church didn't put a huge display and said, we're going to do this or we're going to do the other, and write all sorts of comments on Facebook and stuff. What did the church do, my brothers and sisters? Is there any bigger power in the world than prayer for the church that will change the world that God has called us to change? No placard that you're going to go into the streets of London, no arguments that you're going to win with people are going to win them into the kingdom than the power of prayer. How are we going to make, how are we going to become disciples to make disciples? Prayer is the secret of this wonderful people of God in the very embryonic church that God has formed at that time. Has empowered them through the Holy Spirit. And look at this. If you look at verse 8, because Caiaphas and Annas and all these high priests, by the way, Anna was the big guy. Caiaphas was his son-in-law. So it was a family affair here. They were in charge of this. Remember who Anna and Caiaphas were? Do you remember when Jesus, before he was crucified, where was he taken to? Anna and Caiaphas, weren't they? Where's Peter and John taken now to? Anna and Caiaphas. Yeah? Because those people, this huge autocratic, authoritarian rulers, they had a problem with Jesus and his messianic identification of who he was. So that's what he says here. Then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't miss that. Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Number 4 point that I want to make, he stood for the truth. He didn't argue with them. He just explained to them very gently. No arguing. What was happening? Well, you've seen, you brought us before you because we healed the man. We've done this in the name of Jesus by his authority. Full stop. They stood for the truth. They completely understood what God wanted them to do. And they stood for that truth. Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today, verse 9, for an act of kindness to shown to a cripple and ask how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, that this man stands before you healed. He's healed. And look at verse 13. Look what it says there. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, never been to Oxford, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that this man had been with Jesus. 3 things happened there. Look at this. They saw the courage. They realized. And then they took note. 3 major things happened in this small little verse here. One of the most important verses in Scripture for us as disciples who want to make disciples in terms of evangelism, of mission, of ministry, of vision. They heard the gospel. First of all these people have heard the gospel. Then they saw the miracles that Peter and John were happening. And the third thing is they noticed, they witnessed their character life lived before them. Any of those 3s, if are not aligned together, we are in trouble as witnesses to people. Proclamation and preaching of God's word, accompanied by God's miraculous signs, including healing, and our life lived in righteousness before all people. They noticed that they had been with Jesus. I'm embarrassed and ashamed to say that sometimes I see colleagues in ministry, and I'm not criticizing them honestly, but how they argue on Facebook about this political party, about that political party, and ministers of Christ in church. Taking sides with that, with the other. We have not been called to take sides. We are called to submit to authority. I reminded the church meeting on Thursday to pray for people who are above us, that we have elected, that God has appointed, to pray for them. We've been called to pray. for people like that. I think this is a key, incredible, key ingredient, key passage to our mission and ministry together as a church from the Acts of Apostles. And it says in verse 21, after further trust, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. They received more threats. Remember, they choose to stand for truth. They've accepted criticism. And in the midst of this, the whole church of God choose to pray, not to march. To pray. I hope that we will take this on board as a church, as Christians. And if I may turn your attention, and I'll close with this, in verse 29. Now, it says in their prayer, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They didn't pray. I love this. They didn't pray, oh, Lord, have mercy on our country. Have mercy on your church. Look what they're doing to us. You know, look, you know, take away this terrible persecution from us. What did they pray for? Boldness. Mm-hmm. Boldness to keep on preaching and witnessing to God's love. What are we praying for today? And especially in our situation, our political and social situation at the moment in the world. The church is being called to pray, not to march. Listen to this. Stretch out your hand. This is their prayer in verse 30. To heal and perform miraculous signs. This is what a church does in the first persecution. When they heard that they've been persecuted, when they heard that Peter and John were before the Sanhedrin, taken into account for their faith, for their belief, Lord, we pray that you'll continue to show more miracles of this, so that we engage with these people more. Oh Lord, bring healing of our nation. Marching is not going to bring healing. Pray does in the church. Let me tell you this, as your pastor, at the church meeting last week, we talked about how we can become a more prayerful church. There will be a lot of a lot of things that will be put down for prayer. And I think soon, next month, you will have noticed, probably if you may notice it, but under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the wonderful cooking, culinary skills of my wife, we're going to have prayer breakfast in this church. Like I see some of your faces, oh yes, breakfast. At the prayer, you went down. But the breakfast, when you hear the breakfast word, is there. I know half of you will be coming now. Let's come together and pray. I will personally, as your pastor, organize 2 or 3 big meetings next year where we want to come and pray and fast together as a church to seek God's will for his people here and now and for the future. Watch out this space. We as church in times like this, the church in Acts says they pray 2 things. Boldness to proclaim. Yeah? To proclaim, and that God will continue to perform miracle among that generation of people. And I said to you last week, that guy didn't come for healing the beggar. He was not even a Christian. He didn't recognize God as the Messiah, as the Lord. God healed him. They didn't spend a lot of time with him to explain the scripture or pray for him. They healed him. After they pray, and really I'm closing with this, 2 minutes. The place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Whew. And spoke the word of God. How? Whew. Boldly. It wasn't an earthquake. It was a God quake. The God quake will come in our midst only when we pray like that. No programs, no visions, no strategies will ever do that for us. But when the people of God come to pray, watch out this space. Because we can change the world. The trouble why we can't change the world is, do we find it hard to change? You know, we live in a society just now where racism is ripe. It's terrible. Terrible. It's such a blessing to be part of a fellowship like ours, where we got people from all over the world. People come to us. You got a Romanian pastor. We got a lot of people from all walks of life. How beautiful that is, because in the kingdom of God, in Acts 2, reminded us that all these people from all over the world could understand each other, and God brought them in and baptized them and filled them with the Holy Spirit. From all over. The church wasn't just Judean made out of Jews. Now the church is made up of all people. And we as a church, we need to continue to reflect that. And that's my joy and my real privilege to be the pastor of you guys here, because we are so wonderfully and miraculously creative, but also diverse in our culture and in our outlook and so on and so forth, and how much the richer we are for that. And as long as I am your pastor here, I will always stand for that multicultural, incredible variety and beauty that that brings to us as a fellowship. After they pray, the place where they were meeting shook. Oh boy, imagine you going after a meeting like this. You go home and you go and tell your spouse, your children, did you feel the earthquake? What earthquake? Oh man, it can happen, my brothers and sisters. It can happen. It won't happen with nasty comments on Facebook and marching through that. I don't know. Sorry, I am against all this marching and stuff. I've never been part of them. I never will, and all that stuff. But I am very much about standing here in prayer before God, because that will change a whole world, and myself too, including. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for taking us in your mercy through this journey that is so incredible to the book of Acts. What an adventure this is. What an eye-opener it is. What a blessing to our hearts is. Father, we pray that you will continue to inspire us through this word. May we become a church who stands for the truth. May we become a prayerful church. That every time when we come in here, this place will shake because of your presence. That every time when we come here and bring glory to your name, we will go home filled with your Holy Spirit. That when we are taken into account of the hope that is within us, we will gladly, with boldness, proclaim and not be ashamed of who you are. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us as your people. Help us to become the kind of disciples who boldly proclaims, who will witness miracles in our ministries, but will also live lives that will tell a story before other people, that people will take notice that we have been with Jesus. We have been in a God quake with him. And we have been filled with the Spirit of God. Lord, would you help us be that kind of people? Would you fill us with your Spirit that we may encounter the living Christ, not a religious spirit, but a spirit that says, Abba, Father, there is no fear in proclaiming my name. Lord, help us live lives that are pure before you and others. Help us become disciples and make disciples with boldness and courage, standing for the truth and prayer. This is what we pray today. In Jesus' name. Amen.